us. They forget us. We don't belong, in other words. We're just the people who just don't treat us any better than they do dogs.
I didn't have a farm. I was renting third and fourth. And I sold my equipment and everything, come out here. Thought I'd do better, but I done worse.
Sometimes you work a day. Sometimes you don't work nothing. That's how we get our food. If you work a day, well, you can get your money, a few cotton, a few shopping, beets sometimes if you find any. If you don't find any, well, just come home and don't get nothing.
Well, there's a lot from Arkansas, Oklahoma, Missouri, Texas. They come here to stay, and they have to stay when they get here because they can't get enough to get back on.
Double park on the street side of farm labor offer. That's cotton pickers, $3 a hundred, $1 right turn, rolling and blue bus. Double park on the street side of farm labor offer.
All right, let's get three more pickers here, and I'm going to that field. All right, three more cotton pickers here.
I knew one was going to work this morning. There'll be 50% of these men that won't get out this
morning. And then for Vader, you're going to be making $2 a day.
There's days, you say you'll work one day, and maybe you don't get out the next day this time of year. Yeah. There's 50% of the men on the street this morning won't get to go to work.
We leave the cafe downtown here on the bus at approximately 5 o'clock in the morning, 5 a.m., and we get to the field around 6:30 or 7 o'clock. Most of the contractors have good buses, and we travel a distance on an average of 40 to 60 miles each way per day, which is 80 to 120 miles that we have to travel to and from the field.
And the men shop all day long, 7-8 hours, and don't shop for two rows. And then if he's so tired, he can't hardly get up when he leaves the field. He can't hardly straighten up.
And if you can see, especially here in San Joaquin Valley, it's hot. It gets to the point in the summer, like I said, 100, it was 110 just a couple of months ago. And I see him because the dirt here is peat dirt. It's black, red, dirty, filthy dirt. And you stand out there and it's going to start itching. You're going to start itching something terrible. Now, in order for a man to work in this dirt, he has to wear his T-shirt. He wears also those long johns, they're so called, to protect his legs. Then he wears his shirt, of course, and his jeans. Atop that, his great big enormous boots with his great big thick stockings, and then he wears a great big coverall that will protect him from the dirt getting in. And yet, I'll believe me, that dirt is horrible to get off of his long johns. I mean, you know, it gets in there yet. Well, imagine on a hot tractor where the motor is hot, where the whole tractor is hot, where it's fuming from the heat from the motor, and then the heat from the sun. Now, once in a while, he's lucky, and they give him an umbrella that he puts on over this tractor so the heat won't hit him so hard. But is an umbrella going to help you sitting on a tractor? The heat from the tractor, it could be 108, 109, 110 degree weather, and that hot dirt hitting your face and your body, and then itching for $1 an hour, and then work. He leaves early in the morning. He starts sometimes about 5:30 working, and he still wouldn't come home until 9 o'clock, $1 an hour. Sometimes he'd make it 10 o'clock so he could make a little extra so that we can have a little extra to live on.
Nobody furnishes the equipment but the worker. But you got to furnish your own picking bags, your clippers. If you're in the cotton patch, you got to furnish your cotton sack. You got to furnish your hose. If you're pruning, you got to furnish your pruning chairs. The ladders are not furnished by the contractors, furnished by the sheds.
All the food has got to be come out at a certain time. Mm-hmm. All the peas got to be given at the same time. All the watermelons got to come out at the same time. The cantaloupes got to come out at the same time. Don't you lose them.
Well, everything from cotton on up. Beans, cotton, strawberries, peas, potatoes. Well, might say covered all. Tomatoes.
Now, here it is. Just back this year. Now, here it is right here, you understand? I'm chopping beets, you understand? Now, there's a thick of these cards I'm bringing right here. Show you that plain English. Just like that there. Okay, then. See, I got a long cantaloupe. I cut it in, you understand me? And I need to move. Well, I got to stop to pull this out. You understand? But when I'm chopping with a short cantaloupe, I'm already down there, you understand? I haven't got to stop, you understand? I move and keep moving on. I'm using my left hand, moving this out, and keep moving on, chopping on, moving them on. But if you got a long cantaloupe, see, you got to bend down and take it out, you understand? Of course, you stand it straight up. But if you down like this here, and you miss one, why, you can do this here and keep on moving. So you can just do that and keep on moving. But if you stand fit up, you can't do that. Because the beat is down there and you way up in.
See, everybody can't pick it. Regardless of how hard he work. If we got pickers, we'll pick 250, 300. That'll be all day long. You get up early in the morning, you out there, and he's a full picker. And he can get 300, well, it works him up until dark to get that 300. But this time of year, he don't do it. Now, if he were giving $3 on the cotton picking, and he'd get out there and pick him a couple of 100 pounds, he'd make him $6. He'll live pretty good, providing if he can go back the next day. Mm-hmm. If he can't go the next day, you see what spot he left in. Just $3. I mean, 2.5 hundred. So it makes a rough deal down in here.
Anybody can do stoop labor if they're physically fit. Of course, people get up in their years, 50 years on up, why they not fitted so much for that. But the greatest problem in stoop labor is that the growers are wanting to get done for nothing. That's hard work in any man's book. Stooping over all day long. And it should be like foundry work. And some of the jobs in industry where it's heavier work, they pay them more for it. But here they want to pay less for it instead of more, because stoop labor is cheaper than ladder work here in this country. And it's one of the cheapest labors there is, but still one of the hardest. And it isn't the work or the stooping over or the getting down on their knees or that isn't the problem. It's the problem of no pay. They increase the pay, that would encourage more people to do that kind of work. Younger people who can do it, but not for the price they're wanting to pay for it.
Oh, the picking. Well, now, what you mean? Well, the picking is, this is what gives the picking about it. Now, the picking the cotton is here. He wants it just like this. That's what the man wants. He said, duck all green leaves and forget the boys and leave them in the field because of their name for them building. That's on the stone. Well, sooner or later they come around, defrost, and kill all the leaves on the cotton. Okay, well, the leaves are crispy and everything like that. He tell you then, don't bring them dead leaves in there with the cotton. So you got to try to duck them dead leaves and try to pick the cotton out there as best you can like this. When it's on the ground, the man said, leave the river bait there, boys, and forget about them stems and bulbs, you understand, and bring the best you can. You understand what I mean by that?
Well, there's 9/10 of them carries the kids and the little kids and leaves them out there and them crying and get out there with it and get them. I get sorry for them. I've seen them as 4 years old picking.
There's certain localities and certain crops where you make the money. If you don't make that money on that season, on that particular crop during the season, you just can't exist. That's all there is to it. You have to make it when you can make it. And one crop will pay so much better than another crop. Or, for instance, if the family. You take a family now, they can do different types of work than just a couple or a single man. And that's one reason why you follow the crops. During the past 4 years, we've been following why one of the good crops was strawberries in Oregon. And that's because I've got a family. All right, strawberries is groundwork. It's light work. The kids can do it. And they can make as much money as I can in strawberries. One good feature about Oregon, we would go up there, the strawberries, pick them by the carrier. When the kids take the carrier in, they pay them off in cash. And when you give the kid the money, he may stop in a row and count it, but he's going to go back and get another carrier full. You give him a ticket, and that ticket don't mean nothing to him, and pretty soon he's done. He's not going to pick anymore. So it helps out that way.
It's mostly families picking these berries because it takes a family to make a living in these berries. One man alone wouldn't even make enough to buy his gasoline and cigarettes.
We have people who only work in certain crops. You have a certain class of people that will hardly work in anything else except where they use ladders. Then you have people who do stoop labor and people who work in crops where they work on the ground so they can work their families. Their small kids can help them, which they couldn't do in the trees. And if those people could be induced by better wages where the husband and wife could make the living instead of having to use their kids 6, 8, 10 years old, raise those wages so then people can make it themselves, then they wouldn't have to work those kids.
Well, they're leaving them in the car. I went to the car a many times when there's a horn for me and them little ones in there, I'd hear them crying, you know. And it wouldn't be 2 months old or three, and I'd be afraid that something happened to them. And they'd have the grass, of course, rolled up part of the way, you know. And I would go there and see about the kids myself. I would help them hoe and then come back, and I kept them water and everything, keeping time and all. And I would totally look at the little fella to see if anything went wrong.
Yes, we do a lot of traveling. We most travel every place because we are following the work. We following decision as potatoes come and carrots or tomatoes, peaches, plums, everything that comes, we follow in the world.
Well, we start in Blythe. Usually the box maker splits up there to several different places, like Bakersfield, Wheeler's Ridge, Huron, on up, if the deal moves on up, Minnedota, Farball, Los Banos, and this year on up to Wesley. This is our first year in Westwood.
You get about 10 miles a gallon. When you're on the road, you're about 10 miles old, you get the gallon of gas. Plus your oil and the other expenses.
And about the way the deal is, when you get a pretty good car and you make payments on it, about the time you get it paid for and you think you're gonna be all right, down it goes, and then you got to have another one.
I was taught a long time ago. I was born and raised on a farm. I went to GI Agriculture School, and I was taught a long time ago that you've got to look 2 or 3 years ahead. I've taken a lot of consideration on my pattern of work next year. I'm going to do the best I can here. I'm going to prune grapes or anything I can get until May the 10th of this year. Then I'm going to Stockton again and pick cherries because cherries is a paying crop. It's the only thing now in the valley that you can make a decent living at is cherries. Because they're perishable, they have to come off. As soon as we get done at Stockton, we are planning to go to Niles Canyon and pick cherries. Niles Canyon is over by Gilroy and Watsonville. It's just east of Watsonville in that area. As soon as the cherries is over there, my intentions are to come back to Brentwood and pick apricots. And as soon as the apricots are done at Brentwood, go right back over to Niles Canyon or Gilroy and pick apricots there because they follow right up. And as soon as the apricots is off at Gilroy, go right back to Yuba City in Marysville and pick peaches. And when the peaches are over, it will be time for the prunes around the 1st of September. We'll work in the prunes until school starts. And as soon as school starts, we'll come right back here to Porterville, cut grapes, cut oranges, and prune until cherry season again the next year. And that is the pattern, and I don't believe that anybody can make a decent living for a family in Tulare County the year around unless he can hire out to a farmer for a monthly wage.
That's
and
what
him
I
provide
to.
You with housing or some facilities for living. But as far as us living in a trailer camp, and going from one job to the other, I don't believe we can make it and stay in Tulare County. I believe we've got to follow the peak harvest where they need us.
Yeah.
Now, you take in Kings County and in Fresno County, that is the western part of Fresno County, it's all done by contractors. In fact, the business, you either work for a contractor around Hannaford or Carkin, and you don't work. That's the way it is. They lie to you because they tell you what a good crop's coming up. It's always the next field is the best one. And when you get to that, well, it's the same old story. And, oh, well.
Yeah, you pick a 40-pounder cotton, he takes Social Security out, and he even asks your Social Security number.
I picked cotton here.
Every time you take a wind, he take out Social Security. And when he gets through, I say, what are you taking out for Social Security? Taking it out for the state, to pay the state. I said, well, how are you going to pay, turn in my Social Security and don't even know my number? I got your name. Yeah, I say you got your name, but you don't have my Social Security number.
Anyway.
Well, I really don't have it because my Social number, Security number is 454-140763. And he don't have that down. Let's see if he got 100 men's picking cotton and he takes 20 cents from that 100 men, that's $20 went in that in his pocket that day. Well, he claims he's paying it to the turning in your Social Security. Well, you, if it was turning in, you can't draw none, no way.
The biggest practice against the worker that they have to do in order to contract is tell lies. They're the biggest liars that ever was, contractors. Another is in the cotton, is crooked scales. We have to put up with crooked scales. We have to put up with crooked weigh bosses who will weigh your cotton, kick it off with their knees, never let you see the scales, so you just have to take their word for what you get.
You come up here and weigh. 95, that's what you're striking old, you understand? That's striking old. You got 95 pounds of cotton. That's what you're striking old, you understand? Well, now here come the man. 82. Well, now you weigh up all day with a man knocking 12 pounds off your sack. Brother, you got to be dating him all in bed to put 12 pounds dating a sack and tote that sack. I'm not talking with you. You can put it in there. But now, would to make the sack look right for you to have 95 pounds of cotton in it, you weigh up now. Here you ought to come up with 30 pounds of cotton. Now, you ain't got too much day now because the sack got to look like some cotton in there. You can't just put all day in the sack.
Mm-hmm.
All right, it's still the 12 pounds knocked off of you again. All right, you weigh up five times a day. That's 5 times 12 you're going to take off of. Mm-hmm. And you won't. And one of them old dry cotton sacks is just like dry cotton. Now that green cotton sack will weigh a little something. I'll grant a man it'll weigh 4 or 5 pounds when it's green. But when that sack is worn out to where you're going to patch it, just like these old britches I got in thin as tissue paper where the wind can blow through you, well, they won't weigh 2 pounds hardly. You understand me?
Mm-hmm.
You understand? But you still, that's when all right, now your sack only weighs. All right, you got to automatically have 9 or 10 pounds a day, even break even with the man. But you ain't gonna have that much debt, no sack, man. Don't you know that? You ain't gonna have that much debt. I know I think
I didn't.
Oh, you ain't have that much debt. See? All right, you will. Just say you will. Just say full time. Well, all right, that's 42 pounds that you done got taken off your sack, you know what I'm saying? And you ain't gonna count no 42 pounds a day in no full sack of cotton. I'll bet you that, even that you just out there. And then if you do, the man gonna make you empty it out. Mm-hmm. You ain't gonna get by with it. He go, all right, no, you got to empty this one. You understand what I'm talking about? You got to empty that one on the ground.
Just as they began to get the crew built up and people here began to go over there and pick cotton, had acres and acres of cotton, never had a bowl picked out of them. Boswell and all these here guys here carries their machines over there. They go out, don't even give them a day's notice. Tell them, today's your last day. Take your pickers out. Put the machines in there. Now that's absolutely the fact.
And how many machines did we, how many cotton pickers did we see in one field?
15 in one field.
We seen 42 pickers in one field. One machine will pick more cotton, I'll say 20.
What do you
mean? Hand pickers.
Pickers, the machines that's got the cotton. Before, they had hired the people to go in behind the machines and pick the cotton off the ground. They even got machines in there now. They're picking that cotton up off the ground with machines, even knocking people out of picking the cotton off the ground.
Well, the man can't make it now, scrapping cotton at $2 a hundred, and the cotton machine done been over it twice. The machine done went through the field and picked all the cotton out, knocked it all on the ground. Then it's done rain and beat it done. Then the man go out there and he look for it and make a living at $2 a hundred. Then if you ain't picking cotton, you're allowed to end up in jail or anything. You can't be on.
A lot of them do end up in jail because they'd rather go to jail than to pick that cotton at $2 a hundred.
Where are the people going that's forced out of agriculture? The agricultural work, the farm work, is the last resort. Where are they going from there? Machines will not work in agriculture because every time a machine is put into harvesting a crop, it's throwing so many people out of work, which automatically throws them onto the welfare. And that welfare is supported by the property owners, taxes paid by the property owners. So how much longer can the property owners support a welfare program that machines has put out of work? They're talking about a welfare state. They're the biggest recruiting agents for a welfare state that there is machines.
We do all kinds of work. It doesn't make any difference what kind of work it is if we can make a living at it. But there's so many different types of work that they've had the Mexicans on so many years that it's impossible for us to make a living because the exchange in money for the Mexican, he can work for less money than we can. And for some reason or other, I don't know why, they prefer the Mexican. I guess it's because they can tell him what to do and when to do it, and he'll take all the abuse from it. But I don't know why that they prefer them to us.
They will hire a domestic worker. Yes, they've got to. But to get out there and make it so rough on him that he's got to quit. That's their idea. So they can hold the other election labor, the national. That is a fact.
A lot of them, they like this farm work just like me. They like to work. But there's so much of this national stuff comes in here, and they'll let them work when they won't let them live here work. They get them a crew. Just take a whole crew of nationals, and then you can't even get a job.
Sure, the nationals keep them out. I've been in about 18 different states, and I've talked to people that's been out here, and they say they will never come back here again. As long as they have nationals in here to do this farm labor, that they won't work with them. They're not treated right. They're not treated even halfway as good as nationals, and they're just They don't work with them, that's all they're out there. If they take the Nationals out, they'll have people from all over the United States here.
They provide housing for the Nationals, expense, medical care. I don't know who takes care of the thing in Arizona when we were on this ranch. The thing they would have from 400 to 500 Nationals out there. I know that. He was my husband's yard man, taking care of them. They had one end of the camp for them. They had blankets, nice wool blankets, mattresses for them, and cooking utensils, and everything provided for them. And all of us white people lived up there. We had to provide our own.
Another thing, I went to fields myself. I've lived here in the valley almost 15 years now. And used to be, when I first moved here and got out of the service, you could go almost any place and get a job, and a man appreciated your work. And in the last 10 years, since the Nationals have been in here, you can go to a field and see a whole field full of Nationals, and the farmer won't even talk to you hardly. A number of them won't, because they know they can get all those guys they want. They don't care whether you work or whether you don't.
I don't think they got any labor shortage. If they take the Nationals out of this country, they won't have any labor shortage. They'll have more help in here than they can use.
The Becerros has completely shot the economy of the country as far as the people is concerned, for the simple reason that they have kept wages down, and they have worked in places where the Mexican people, which do stoop labor as much as the Becerros or the Filipinos, either one, have been unable to get work for the simple reason that the farmers use Becerros instead of domestics.
So I feel this. I feel like that the Nationalists is coming over here. They're bringing them over here, the farmers are, and they're trying to starve us, the domestic, to death. Now, that's just the way I feel about it. That we've got nothing like an even break, no way through. They've got the very best of everything. And I don't feel that it's right to bring them over here and take the money out of this country, carry it back over there, and let us do it out of work, and maybe our families go hungry.
Well, I want to tell you, the pay in that kind of work is so low that my mind there, ashamed to say, in different places. And the potatoes, about 6 cents a stub is all you could get. They call them a stub, but they want full sacks. So if you get out there and bow your back and work real hard and put up a full abuse, you might make $6-$7 a day.
The average working man in this area gets up at 4 o'clock in the morning, from 4 to 5 o'clock. He gets in the field around 7 o'clock. Works from 7 to 4:30, 5 o'clock. Average pay, now, what I mean, I understand what I'm talking about. If you average up for the hours, it's 35 cents an hour. From the time he gets up to the time he gets back. Now, that is no kind of wage for any working man, not a regardless race, creed, or color. And I believe if they would give him the exact wage that it's supposed to be, $1.25 an hour is really not enough for the way they have to live in this part of the country right now.
Tell you, man, the people, they really have to run to make just $6. And about 9 hours, too. And besides that, everything costs a lot of money around here. We can import it to do it. It's just like we've been working for nothing. Yesterday I worked like hell. And I only make $6 lousy. Pick an onion.
A 20-year carry picker can make $7-$8, but 3 or 4 year experience in Albuquerque where you can make $2 or $3. That's about it. Well, I can't make nothing and none of it. I'm not experienced at it, but some guys make good money. A bunch of 20 guys go out, 3 guys may make over $12. The rest of them may make 8, 6, 5, 4. Depends on your speed, experience.
The three of us, because we're three working, my husband, my boy, and myself, we make about $22 or $25 a day. Three of us.
I have drove 60 miles and only several days in a week and only make $3.50. You can't do it. 15 to 18 cents a box, then get to pick about 27 to 32 boxes.
You and your wife both.
The berries can't die much in big, you know. Some of them probably can't pick over 200-300. 200, some two, some pick three. And every once in a while you find one can pick four and five. Well, $500 is $15. But the one that picks two of you, you'll get it for $6.
It depends, you understand me? There's two opinions on that. If providing if he's on a steady job, and he wait a year or two on a steady job, and on another mess, if sometime he waits to welcome to cotton picking time, he change over from the job he had to picking cotton. You see, that's underestimated because he might be a good cotton picker. But if a man just had a steady job on the farm, you see, he had to make sure about it. I say from 190 to 200. And he's just on the swing line, well, that's underestimated because he's picking cotton sometime, he's chopping beet sometime, and he's chopping cotton sometime. Sometimes they pay by the roll. Sometimes they are paid by the hour, you understand. If you're working by the roll, you understand, you're working for yourself, you move a little faster. You make a little bit more. Sometimes you got a chance if the price is right. If you're working by the hour, they generally open up at 85 and 75. But now they jumped up to 90 and some places. Well, I see some excuses today. They're paying 85 cents chopping alfalfa with showdown hoe, which that never happened before. You mean take home money and have the bill paid, and yes, or you'd be lucky to get by with $700 and wake every day at the spot. You'd be awful lucky. Yes, that's from Monday morning to Monday.
He's very lucky too.
You hear what it says? I'm putting all good weather with you. We'd be very lucky.
Sometimes, like we work in the fields, we don't get too much money out of because we don't get big prices. We get 75 cents an hour. We just working in the fields. We don't work no dollar an hour or no dollar 25 an hour. We just work about 75 cents an hour when you're chopping cotton or picking cotton or different works. We don't get not enough money to be, you know, just enough money for past your winter time sometimes.
Well, in the cherries, I find that we've always made pretty fair money. We have hit some orchards, good trees. My wife and two sons, the last year was in them, made up $80 and $90 a day. That's 4 years ago.
I'm a fair cotton picker. But every day I go out, one day I might go out and I might make $10, $11. Next day I go out, cotton is sorry. I don't do so good. Maybe I might make $4 or $5.
4 o'clock in the morning till around 6 to 7 in the evening. From the time I leave town to go to the field and leave the field and get back to town. So actually a man is putting in 16 to 18 hours a day for, I would say on the average of $12. And to me, that isn't much money. Now, there are fellows who can beat me picking cotton. And I haven't picked any for 3 years. My best day this year, I've only been out 5 days. My best day this year has been 375 pounds in a period of about 11 hours.
Well, sir, of course, there's seven of us. And although that little girl is only 9 years old, you'd be surprised how much she can make during the summer. But the seven of us, last year, I think I could look on the book, but I think we made $4,100. Well, that seems like a lot of money. But it's not a lot of money when you don't have a home, you don't have no place to stay, you've got to move from one place to the other, you've got to tear up an automobile every year, you've got payments on a house trailer.
But there's some of them I don't see how they make it. Now, they get over in the carrots after the first of the year over around Indio. And a lot of times they'll make it as little as 50 cents a day. Lay out in the bush down there. Camp out under the trees. Anybody that's never been there wouldn't believe it, but you can go down through there after the first of the year and you can see any amount of them, families, big families, with their children out there under a tree, and they'll get out there and hustle them carrots all day and make $2 or $3 a day, the whole family. Is the way the general run of them makes it through the winter. You won't find just one family, you'll find hundreds of them.
I think that they could come up on the prices a little bit and it would sure help everybody.
Wheat just come and goes. You have to follow these harvests. Well, the man don't get really shit out of it. He can't, just can't make a living. And he can't make a living where he ain't living like a human should live. He's just making out, doing the best he can do. You go out and wait 8 hours, $7.65. $8, if you was making $1 out of it, you would be 8 hours. When you take out Social Security, you wouldn't have a seven something. Then, if you got any size family working, he won't have nothing. He's still going in the hole all the time, still coming out.
There's so many people that you can hardly find nothing now. You go out in the mornings and just look around and go, and there's so many people that they don't want to hire you anymore in the fields. We don't have enough work for all of us. As they go, they tell you, well, come tomorrow or come next day, or sometime they tell you, well, we don't need you anymore. It's too many people.
In this kind of work, you have to go where you can make the most, because it's like this. You can't work every day. Hardly. At some time, it's going to be a layoff. Well, we still have expenses to meet just the same. We have your rent to pay, your gas, and everything just the same. And it's not like if you have, most people have a steady job. Well, they stay in one place, well, that's year around. Well, they still have money to pay the rent and everything. But like us, you've got, if you're off a week or two of work, you're not working, you've got to go and work where the next week or two you can make more.
Generally, anywhere from January, there's three-fourths of the people that work for me that don't get to work till last April or first of May.
Well, the winter's going to be rougher this year than it has been for the last, I say, 14 years. Well, since I've been in here, this is rougher now than it was in, just about as rough as it was in the Hoover days.
During the winter, there's nothing. That I can say, I'm so sure. During the winter, we just strive along. We have lived up to it. $3 in one week. In 1 week, $3.
Well, there's a lot of the winter time that there's not much of anything you can do. However, in the cotton picking and the scrapping late, you can get out, and if you'll work hard enough, you can make $2 or $3 a day.
I'm going to take anything I possibly can get at any price, any kind of work, and try to make it through the winter.
We've been out of work almost 2 months. Just one day or two of each week we just do work, but, you know, we haven't been work regularly for 2 months.
Well, days like today, when they can get out and there's a little cotton in the field, they'll get out and scrap a little cotton. Then maybe we'll have maybe a week or 2 weeks bad weather. And they'll have to wait until that's over with and then get maybe a day or 2 days in the fields. Maybe here come the rain and the fog that keeps them out. And they'll lay and spend up and they just go in debt until they... spring of the year start, then it does pretty good. But for this winter, it's rough.
I think it'll be the toughest winter it's been in 14 years since I've been here. There's no oranges. There's no olives much. And that's the winter drought, you see.
for just the flow in people. The last 4 or 5 years, it's been a getting worse. Well, I'll tell you, there are a lot of people that are giving stuff. That's the only way they can get it, or unless they go and steal it. And another thing is, you see, they get the fur end that in this winter period, they can't catch up in the summer to have enough to carry them over to the next.
Some weeks they get by on $10 a week because he don't have the money. What helps him is most of us got a little credit down in here, and they'll go to the stores, you see, maybe make $8 or $10 like a day. They start at about 2 o'clock. Well, they got from 9 till night. You see how bad it is now. It's just rough for them. They take a chance on pneumonia, let them have that. Maybe he'll make about $8, $6. If he's a poor picker, he only make about $2.50, $3. Man, he came to pick over 150 or 200 pounds a day, maybe say 300 a day. Well, this time of eating, he'd probably get him 150 and work hard to do that. Well, then that poor fellow winds up in debt. He got to live. So, some weeks he'll have $30, and some weeks if he gets 3 or 4 days, he can run up to about $40, $50. Some weeks he don't have over 8 or 10.
There is a few people who have credit, the grocery stores and gas stations and first like that, but it's just like a clock. They go in debt in the wintertime. It takes them all summer to pay it back. That is the ones that stay here locally and work locally. And they're in a complete cycle. They get out of debt probably. I didn't last summer, but then the next winter they got to do the same old thing, go back in debt, and then work it out next summer.
And in wintertime, we have no money at all. So then it was in February, when they started to come in a little bit of work, and Mal worked a little bit, and that's when Mal was working, because he worked, sometimes he has gotten to work day and night in order so he can make enough money for us to live on. And he works Sundays, and there's no days off or anything, because we don't get no type of benefits during the winter time. We don't have no unemployment checks. We don't have no Social Security checks or anything.
Well, they'll have to depend upon the welfare for their groceries, and their rent is not being paid. Everybody in the camp's behind on the rent. And the only thing they can do is wait for peach thinning and cotton chopping.
They give some kind of orders to buy groceries, but they don't give no money. They give out orders to buy groceries. At least they have to stay in the county for 6 months before they get some kind of help.
I would say I've got to get through the winter without going on relief, because I don't believe that I can eat on relief.
No, we went twice to the relief, you know, but they don't give much, you know, because like my family, we use especially in flour, we use 25 pounds for a week, and they gave us 30 pounds for 2 weeks, 15 days. And Lord, I just, charting, I just 9 pounds a week, and they gave us 3 pounds for 2 weeks. So, you know, I don't think that's enough, you know. And you know, like right now we're behind in rent. You know, they don't, you know, I went once over there, but they say they can do anything, you know. It's myself, my husband, and 6 children.
We were in Glenn County. That had been our residence for 3 years in Glenn County. But they wouldn't accept him up there. They said that we were migratory workers, and in and out of the county, they wouldn't even take care of him when his hand was crippled there. He was 9 weeks, his hand was swollen, and we had a girl in school. He wasn't able to work, and all the work we got by, they didn't help us one bit. I had an 18-year-old daughter and myself. We worked enough that we survived, and they would not help us, but Tulare County did.
The city of Mendota is 34 miles from Fresno, California. And East Mendota, well, I'll describe it the best I can. It's just look like a little, what would you call it? Anyhow, a little village. Shacks here, shacks there, few nice buildings, and some, shame on it. I can't say it in words. If I do, I get put in jail, which I'll be liable to get put in jail anyhow. But everybody get along here pretty good. And most of the people who live here are Negroes and Mexican people. A few white. But everybody get along fine. Yeah, we have little arguments. A few fights once in a while. But everybody's happy. But it's a mud hole when it rains.
Did you say happy?
Well, as far as our money lets us be happy. Yeah. We drink a lot of wine, drink a lot of beer, get disgusted. Once in a while, we go over on the other side of the track. Yeah, we're on the east side of the track. The better living people live on what they call the west side of the track. But the really working people live on the east side, where it's mud. When it rains real hard, you got to put on hip boots or go barefooted to get out of it.
We don't have any water. We don't have nothing. We just come over here and fix our own house by ourselves. We don't have nothing to do, just, he said he was going to put us some houses new and put us some water in it, but we haven't got any water. Pay us $15 a month. Without the light, we have to put it on self. We furnish our light, and sometimes our light comes $5 and $6.
Well, it just ain't no good for anybody to live in. No water, no nothing like that. Houses ain't sitting to live in. What house is here, though, belongs to people that moved them in, you see. So Raymond, he charged them $35, I understand, for moving the houses in here. And the way he put it to me, and I see he don't rent the house, he just leases the land. That's the way he put it to me.
Because I've been living just checks. We old people, agriculture people, had only one room or two-room houses. Only some ones there had three room houses. That's the only one, just a small buildings, and we pay so much rent, like the ones that the house we live, they had four rooms, and we paying $35. My brother had a little tiny house, got five children, and he and his wife, and he's paying $25. No facilities in sight.
We usually rent our own places in town. But here, there's no living facilities up in here further than the labor camp. So we had to rent here. Nothing in the world but about a 12 by 14 metal cabin. Some of them have cement floors. However, the two we have does have wooden floors. And the windows are just metal shutters. We furnish our own furniture. We bring our own stoves, our own, as far as a kitchen with sinks, no inside water or nothing. Outside toilets. I pay $33.75 a month for the two cabins. But the two tin cabins is all there is.
Oh, we just have a little stove, and, you know, it doesn't have any tables, it don't have any chairs, it don't have any cabinets. It's just a stove, you know. And, you know, to the bathroom, it's quite a long walk, and especially for my kids during the night, you know, I just can't let them go by themselves, you know, it's kind of trouble, because mm-hmm. it's kind of far from the house.
Well, I wouldn't want to know how to tell you the truth about it. It's not good, they've not got no ceiling in them, and none of them not papered hardly. They're all that way, I think, most of all of them. But, they keep you down here where you don't know where to fix one up to live in or not. The way it is, why, you might fix it up and you may have to move the next day. I could have had this house up in pretty good shape to live in for just the house, but I couldn't tell whether I'd have to move or what, and I didn't want to go ahead and put out my money and lose it on the house.
Well, they're greater in the winter than any other time because it's warm down there, and as I say, the big families and the people that go down after that class of work, if there's nothing else they can do, there's nothing else they can find. Why, the weather's warm and they can camp out on them trees and on the byroads, the ditches, and everywhere. Anywhere you want to go, off the highway, you find them. By the hundreds.
Well, most of them, they'd live in these little cabins anywhere they could get. I've had two or three sleep on the bridges.
Whenever we hit a crop, well, we eat all we can hold. And we move from the next crop while we have a variety. Of course, it takes a year to get a balanced diet. For instance, right now, we have some oranges now because we've been out here cutting oranges, and when we dump recycle, they don't all fall out. So we have a few oranges, but they're too high to buy in the store. But we do have some oranges. I mean, we have had. I guess we've got two or three left.
Some farmers that will let us have some food, but someone said we had to hide to get the food home. There's a man that who lives in Ivanhoe that he used to stay in the inn of the orchard and search each sack of food we have. And sometimes whenever we have oranges and he find out, he take them away from us. He won't let us have it. So that's the only way we could have food. Some ranchers are willing to give us the food for take home for the children, but someone don't.
Well, now he have to use beans. And if he's fortunate enough to have him a little garden, to use greens, onions, all boy stuff, see. If he's fortunate enough to be done raising a hog and put it up, you have a little meat. Most of them down in here, so you'd say it's about maybe 15 of them through this district. It's got hogs in it. It got hogs, see? Well, he can kill his meat. But that fella wasn't able to have a hog. See, it costs quite a bit to raise a hog. Well, then he just have to do without a hog. Some few of them through here have a milkman come around. But the biggest majority, I'll say 80 or 90% of them don't have it. Maybe, he, like I say, he picked a day, and if he make enough, he can get out and get some milk for his kids and his family. Well, maybe if it's raining tomorrow, then they do without the next few days until he can get back to work.
You go to the store. You buy, well, we'll take the cheapest meat. Liver. Neck bones. Neck bones, yeah, that's part of a hog. Absolutely. That's 35 to 45 cents a pound. That's the cheapest meat you get, and that's no meat.
The way that the agriculture people eat, it's just like myself. Children drink milk once a week. Eat meat once a week because we can afford it to give them. It's just the same with all the people. Someone said, don't have it at all, just beans and potatoes, that's all.
Majority of the time we have a half a gallon of milk for seven of us for breakfast. We make that go around. It's very few mornings that we have failed. We have, but we've been very fortunate. And we try to have some kind of meat once a day. We don't try every meal, but we found out that liver is better than steak, and we found out that a stew is better than steak, and I think we get the same nourishment out of it. We just have to buy the cheap cuts of meat. But if it wasn't for us people, what would the butcher do with it? So there you are.
Well, you just have to manage, you know, the best way you can, and keep a few chickens to eat off them, and maybe a lot of fruit, you know, be around. Some of them give it to you, and so we do. Best we can that way, you know, and just eat the best you can, you know, and do what you can. That's all you can do.
Just anything they can get. They get out and they pick mustard and go to these stores where they have bread and stuff that's discarded. Buy 6-7 loaves of bread for 25, 30 cents. Meat. That thing fast.
Winter time,
most of
them. Oh, well, that would be kind of like, say, beans, boiled beans, with maybe to have a little meat. Most of them say grease. The
season it with the spices and stuff to put in it. And cornbread. Can't get above that.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you do, if you make a big meal for the day, then tomorrow he's without for the next two or three days. So with his, he's, if he's able, when he goes and picks and gets him a little lard, small piece of meat, maybe say it's 2-3 pounds of meat, well, that'll have to last him 3 or 4 days. I'll say five in a family. That piece of meat has to last 3 or 4 days, maybe just a slice. Just something to season you. And most of that has to be salt bacon. Of course, you can use the salt bacon for boiling. So they're not able to get up to the smoked bacon, lots of them, see. It's kind of rough. Really rough. No kind of it is rough. Mm-hmm. Not any for this time of year.
This is just a harvest country. This is not a place like where
there's delivery. No, it's no. just a harvest country.
And when the harvest gone, your work's gone.
That's it.
Well, now, if a man, well, you know, I thought this is a free country. If a man can't, gotta be. I don't think it's the sheriff's place to tell a man, if you don't go to work tomorrow, don't let me see you on the streets. If you're not stealing, violating the law, I think a man is free to walk the streets anytime you get ready.
That's correct.
I think it should be.
Field help just don't get no
pay. They just don't get nothing for it. The farmer gets it all. He can drive his airplane, the new automobiles, and a poor farm worker with his big family and get out there with a bean bread living and drive a jalopy car, barefooted, and patch clothes on or whatever he can get a hold of. That's just exactly the way I feel about it, if you ask me from the shoulder.
Well, that's the way it is.
If you ask me my honest opinion, that's it.
I drove 6 head of horses on a binder, a binding wheat. I run a thrash machine. My granddad, when I wasn't 16 years old, and I mean I run it. I wasn't just on top of it. And my brother, he was only 14, he was on the tractor, the two of us together running that outfit. And I've just got my doubts for a few farmers here in California ever seeing a binder.
I doubt it.
They're not farmers. They're businessmen. Agribusiness. It's not a farmer anymore. It's a businessman. Somebody down here in Los Angeles dictating up here and have a hired man out here. That's what we're up again. The only thing we can do is follow the peak harvest whenever they need us. Why, they'll give us work. When they don't need us, why, that's all, brother. Get going.
Told you.
And that's honest to God's truth. I'm telling you the truth.
Us people, they call us tramps. Yeah, they call us tramps, winos, anything else. But if it wasn't for these tramps and winos that they call us, you would not have no clothes, no food, no sugar, nothing. We have to go out and make it, thin it, take it, gather it. Everything that the city people have, today, us tramps make it. We travel from town to town, freight train, automobiles. Sometimes we guess we'll get there. If it wasn't for us tramps, the city people would be in one awful fix. And that's all I have to say about that subject.
Most of the agriculture people are... Even those that come out of industry, they like to work on the farms because it's healthy. You're out in the open air, and although you get dirty, like gathering grapes, why, you look like a bunch of grapes after you get through. But at the same time, why, you're out in the open where it's healthy, and you're not in the, ganged up in a bunch of smog. You're not taking your life in hands every time you go from one block to another in the heavy traffic that there is in the big cities. And it's just naturally a freer life for the people.
I have a family, and I like to work with my family and teach my children how to work before they get to be married.
and I feel like that's a big help to them. I have two boys, one of them 15 and one of them 14, or one of them 16 and one of them 14, that I can go out and work with, you know, and show them what work is and what it is to earn a dollar. And otherwise, I couldn't.
I don't want to, myself, I don't like to work, especially in the big family I have. My job is in a house because I have to attend my children, but the reason I work is because my husband can afford to give the kids what they need.
I would rather work in agriculture because I don't know, there's something about it. I like to see stuff grow, and I like to help take care of it.
Agriculture is a fruit of men. And you think about it, and being out in the field, out in the open, is really something. And then when you pick out a tomato, you say, gee whiz, some little kid's going to eat this. You pick a peach, and gee, some family's going to enjoy this. And yet, then you think this one thought. Why, when we're picking these things for them, why don't they treat us the same way? If we got out of agriculture, I feel this, that the only reason would be so that we can have a better living.